My beloved and my brethren, I'm just going to share with you a few thoughts today about the readings that we just heard. Before we start, I'm going to remind you and remind myself of what St. James is teaching us today. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And by no way, I'm not a teacher. I'm just here to share with you some meditation. So I prayed for the Holy Spirit to just like use my tongue to send us a word. And the same Holy Spirit, I'm praying that it opens our hearts to receive this word. So the parable of the sower is a journey that takes us deep inside our humanity. Jesus wants to expose what is really hidden behind this external appearance. And that's why people who were here yesterday, who followed the Vespers, the psalm was beautiful. It was saying, the beginning of it was saying, then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. The foundations of the world were uncovered. And I think like the foundations of me, because if we really want to understand the parable of the sower, as I said, it exposes my inner self before my eyes. Before we go deeper into this journey, I would like to just like give you a few observations. I'm not going to say anything new today, probably because we all know the parable of the sower very good. But while it's truly about four different kinds of grounds, I would like you today to think of it a little bit differently. So it's not just about different natures, but it's probably stages that would go sequentially, and as if our journey to make it to our earthly paradise, to the soil that's going to give fruit, God wants us to go from stage A to B and C, and eventually we end up in stage D, which is the good soil. So think of it today as it's not just like, oh, my type is I am probably my type A, type A, or type B, or type C. No, it is a journey, as we're going to discover. And actually, going to stage D, which is the good soil, it's not an option, it's a must, as we're going to see. We have to make it to this stage. And while it looks like it's the end of the journey, it's not the end, it's the beginning, actually. It's probably the end of my struggle, my human struggle with myself and with the Word. And I appear before God, and then He takes me from there, and He starts the true journey. So this is a couple of observations. Another observation, which is like I'm going to take you to a biology class. When we studied about how the whole story of a seed becomes a plant, you're going to be surprised. Like, you know, this seed does need way more than just a seed, because it's true that it needs a soil, but it also needs light, and it needs heat, and it needs water. And if today's God is talking to us as if we are the different types of soils, He is the one who provides the seed. And if you ask the soil, when the seed comes into you, do you provide all the other elements? The soil is going to say no. So to be honest with you, like, God provides almost everything. He provides the seed. As the parable today was saying, the sower went out to seed, right? So he is the one who gives the seed, and then he's the one who arranges the optimum heat, gives the water, and everything. But what comes from like the soil to help the seed? A little bit of maybe minerals and that we studied. But today with our technology, if we take the same elements and we put it in the lab and we put a seed and we give all the optimum factors, is it going to yield a fruit? No, it's not going to happen. Like this miraculous transformation has to happen into the depth of the human soul. God wants to work with you and in you. The last observation before we go deeper into this journey today. Think about what happened. Like, Jesus, who represents the sower, he took the seed, and while he is fulfilling his mission, he let seed fall on different types of soil. Different types of soil, he knows that it's not going to give any fruit. The first three types actually did not give any fruit. The seed that fell on the sideway, it's not going to give any fruit. And the other two types that came after, we know it did not give any fruit. But he let the seeds fall on these different types of soils. And when you think about it, why? Why? And then when I was thinking deeply about it, I thought that like two things came to my mind really, like when we stand before the Lord the day of the judgment, we're not going to have any excuse, to be honest with you, because the word of God reached us wherever we were, and regardless of which stage we were in, God will send his word to you. Another thing that really came to my mind, it was just maybe a message from God that says, no matter where you are in your stages, I'm going to be with you. Even if you are still a bear sideway with no hope of giving any fruit, I'm going to reach out for you and give you my word. So with this, let's probably start the journey of today. And as I said, it's a journey that's going to take us from A to B to C till eventually we reach stage D. The first one, the seed fell on the sideway. It's solid. There is no way this seed will succeed. And then I asked myself, why? And honestly, I couldn't make any sense of it. And then I prayed about it and I said, God, what does it mean? Like, you know, what does it mean that you let seeds fall on a solid ground? And then, as if God's speaks to us, like, you know, when we ask him, he answers back. And he said, like, define the word of God. What is the definition of the word of God? This seed, what is the definition? So I'm going to read to you. St. Paul is going to help us define this. So St. Paul says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. So this word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. This is how strong this seed is. Okay, to understand even more, let us go back and remember what God was sending to one of the churches in Revelation. He was talking to the church of the Laodiceans, and he said, I know your works, that you are not cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Be careful here. He says, I wish you were cold or hot. Cold. But because, and we all know the rest of the verse, but because you are a lukewarm, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth, right? So actually, today, think of, as we're going to go through this journey of the different types of the soils, also think of this message, the cold and the hot. The two extremes, the hot and the cold. And in between, there is what we call the lukewarm. The lukewarm. So, actually what happened today, the seeds that fell on the sideway, it cannot be any colder. This is a state of spiritual coldness. This is a frank, this is something that every eye can see. And yet, God allowed seeds to fall on this solid, bare land, even though it is cold. And then, when I go back to the powerful message about the Word of God and how it shatters this solid surface, I understand probably why God let His Word fall on this solid land. But this is not all. Because then, if God can do this with this type of land, why doesn't He do the same with the second and the third? Let's do it with all and finish. No. I kept the last part of St. Paul's definition about the Word of God till the end. I'm going to read it again, and now I'm going to tell you the last part of it. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This same Word of God, with all its power, it knows how to differentiate, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let's quickly go over the story of the Samaritan woman. And this is going to explain it all to us in this stage. This is a woman who lived in spiritual coldness. No one disagreed with that. She herself did not disagree with that. She knew that she is living in sin. And she did not try to hide behind any, like, you know, appearance, different appearance, and just like be a sinner at home, but in front of people, I am a saint. She did not do that. She knew she was a sinner. She's a bare sideway, solid sideway. There is no soil covering it. No hypocrisy. And she would avoid walking in the morning to see people and be trampled by the visions and the accusations of people. She would pick the worst time of the day, noon, to be on herself, probably suffering the heat of the day, and go to the well to look for water. But this person, in this stage of coldness, when she heard the Word of God, she shouted, her inner person longing for salvation, shouted, and she said to the Lord, give me of this water, right? When God started to talk to her about the true water, the true fountain, she said, I can't wait to have this water. And that's why the Word of God is strong, and the Word of God can shatter anything, but it's waiting for the true intention of the heart, the true longing inside the heart. And that's why if if any one of us is in this stage, or if any one of us has a son or a daughter or a father or a husband who is in this stage, just pray for them. And don't worry, because the word of God can reach them even in the worst stage of their life. Believe me. Just pray for them that God give them this just like longing. So we have seen here that God is capable of reaching to you even in the worst stages of your life, the cold stages of your life. So let's move on to the second stage, which is actually the same solid land, but covered by a piece of soil. One thing I'm going to just like share with you before reaching this stage, I was wondering, like, you know, when God said that the birds came to eat quickly the seeds that fell on the sideway. And now I know why, because probably Satan knows that if this word of God, even if a person is cold and the true intention started to wake up inside of him or her, this word of God is going to change this sinner person, like the Samaritan, into a preacher. And that's why Satan could not wait. And the parable, when Jesus explained that, said Satan came quickly and stole the word of God. And of course, there are people in the first cold stage that announce frankly to the whole world, we have nothing to do with God, and that's it for us. Like all the people who call themselves atheists, it falls probably into this category, and we really have nothing other than just like praying for them, knowing that God is reaching out to these hearts as well. So let's move on to the lukewarm stage, and this is very dangerous. This is probably where our struggle is starting. So there's two kinds of soil here. One is, again, a very hard and like rocks. But the danger of this one is that it is covered with a thin layer of soil that allows some activity. So when the seed falls on this soil, there will be some activity. We're going to see something flourishing, some plant. But are there fruits there? No, absolutely not. There are no fruits there. There are no fruits there. But the problem with this is I could be lured by this activity and I could be contented and happy with it, and that's it. But there is no real depth inside of me. So what is this hard part that is not accepting and not allowing the word of God to bring fruit? This is when I look at this rocky surface covered by the soil, this is my ego. This is my ego preventing the grace of God to work in me and use me. This is probably every one of us who is, as I said, contented with just like probably coming to church, having some activity, some social activities, but we don't care really about any spiritual depth inside of us, and we are happy with it. And our true ego is hidden behind these activities that are happening. And God cannot be pleased with this. God cannot be pleased with this. This is not what God really wants. So if this is your stage, like, you know, when you think about it, when you are with yourself and just like go deeper into yourself and you see that your ego is still active and it's preventing the word of God of bringing fruit, just, it's very difficult to get rid of our ego. It's very difficult. And just like pray to God for his grace to help us. And by the way, when God sends us let us go through tribulations and difficulties in our lives. Sometimes we scream at him, and why? Please remember that he's trying to help us get rid of this ego. He's trying to get rid of this hard soil hidden behind this, just like, you know, soil that's giving activity. He wants to take us deeper than that. So this teaches us that if I am walking with God and God allows me to go through a tribulation, people don't like me, people are talking about me, this is maybe a message. I am working on your ego, I am shattering it. I want the seed to go deeper and deeper. So accept this from the hand of God and be happy about it. I know it's easy to say, but be happy because the liturgy today ended with the word patience. Be patient. And this is when we can probably feel a little bit of joy that at the end, God is not going to abandon you. In this category, in the first category, we took the Samaritan woman as an example. In this category, we're going to probably, what comes to my eye is the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And we hear Jesus say to them, "Woe to you, hypocrites." The third type is probably a better stage. We are in stage C now. We're coming close to the end of the journey. But it's still, while it's probably an advance, like we are advancing, we are progressing, the rocky part is gone. And it sounds great. We're going into the right direction, but there is still something wrong. This stage still falls into what we call the lukewarm, and it will not give fruit. And this is not what God wants. So what's the story of this third type? The story of it is that while there is no hard surface anymore, there is probably a soil that could allow a great depth for the seed to grow. This is a person who maybe got over his or her ego. Congratulations, but the word still live inside of us. So they manage to let go of the ego, but still I could not let go of the word. And this is unfortunately not gonna help either. And the best example for this type of ground, you know which one? The rich man. The rich man is a perfect example. And then if we rewind the tape a little bit and see what happened, he came to Jesus and he said, "What do I do to win my eternity?" And the answer was, "You know it, the law, fulfill the law." So he told him, "I did that. Since an early age, I did that already." And what does the Bible say? Jesus looked at him and what? And he loved him. He loved him because this is coming very close to the end of the human struggle and the beginning of the true journey with God. And we all, unfortunately, know how it ended. He turned his back to Jesus and he walked away. So this is not going to work either. This is not going to work either. So guys, we need to probably kind of just like wake up a little bit. And as I said today, if you identify, if you're worried about your inner life, and you identify yourself as, "I am in this phase or in that phase," this is not enough. This is good, because this is the beginning for God's hands and God's grace to work in our heart. But this is not it. We need to keep moving on till we reach stage D, which is the good soil. So we arrive to this soil, and honestly, congratulations for us if we make it to this stage 4, because this is where, as I said before, my human struggle with my ego, with my state of coldness or maybe lukewarm has ended. This is where I'm starting to feel I am hot with God. But I'm tired, and maybe I look miserable in the eyes of myself. Because someone who struggled all the way, someone who fought, look at a soldier when they come probably back from, if they haven't washed or cleaned themselves yet, look at them. Very dirty, maybe blood all over. So we arrive to this stage, maybe looking miserable in the eyes of the others, or miserable in the eye of ourselves. But God takes this miserable being and make of it a beautiful image, a new image of himself. So God is waiting for me to just like arrive to this stage, and he makes of me, it's like, you know, when you take a puzzle, pieces. So he takes the pieces, the broken pieces of myself, no ego anymore. The word does not live inside of me anymore. So I became shattered. And all my heartbreaking experiences, they really cracked open this heart to the hands of God. So he takes these pieces and he makes of it a new picture. A new picture that reveals not my image anymore, but his image. This is the true when he says, you are the light of the world. This is when we become the light of the world. This is when he takes all my misery and then makes of my life like a beautiful story and a tale of joy and success. People who make it to this stage start to enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about love, joy, peace, kindness, faith, all these, like, you know, these are not man-made, by the way. And that's why they're going to last. They're going to last. So in this stage, if things happen, yes, probably I'm going to react, but it's not going to steal my happiness or joy. If I'm having a problem, I will still keep my peace. If people want to attack someone because he or she made a mistake, I always tell people there is a difference. If I am in stage B or stage C, probably I'm gonna be very harsh because still my ego is still there, wants to fight. If I am in stage D and I wanna correct a problem or talk about it, I'm not gonna forget that I have elements inside of me, which is Jesus, which is the compassion, which is the love, which is the mercy, that's going to help me go over this problem and forgive. So let's pray together that not only we truly sit with ourselves today and try to identify where we are on this map, but ask God to help every one of us today to keep moving on with our life till we make it to this paradise so that the true journey starts. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Choice in the tyrant is a auto-go.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pentecreator, creator of heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten not created, one essence of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, and of the Virgin Mary, and became man. And he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate,
suffered and was buried, and on the third day raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures,
ascended into the heavens,
he sits at the right hand of his Father,
and he is coming again, his glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son, who worships and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and one holy Catholic and apostolic church, we confess one baptism for the remission of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen.
Es muere ne posi
et omnes